Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us again today as we face the issues. We're going to be talking about the foreshadowing of things to come. The foreshadowing of things to come. Before we get into the dialogue, the discussion, let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the Word of God, and we'll look out around us in the world with the headline news and what's taking place. I don't know about you, but I get a little excited about it because I see God's Word coming to fruition. One of the major things we'll be talking about today that leads into the theological, eschatological discussion about things to come, and we're seeing the foreshadowing of them, is that of the coronavirus and what's taking place with it, what could have caused it, what is the source. Where is it going? What will be the end of it? We'll be talking about all of those things on this broadcast today. I pray that you'll join in the dialogue and the discussion. You can join in that dialogue and discussion by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question or comment. Your dialogue and discussion is welcomed on our broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. You, our listener, make up this program. It's designed around the questions and comments and dialogue and discussion that would be edifying, inspiring, encouraging, and educational for you, our listener. So let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917 during the course of this broadcast. I'll be talking about a book that I want to have in your hands, The Panorama of Prophecy. The Panorama of Prophecy. It's a marvelous book, if I must say so myself. It's an overview of all of the eschatological prophetic texts from the rapture of the church to the return of Jesus. It's about 156, 160 pages. It is a fantastic tool book for every Christian. If you want to know what's happening in the world, what's going to be taking place for the future, I want to offer this book to you today. And let me remind you, you can call in, leave your telephone number and your contact information. We'd love to send you this book for any contribution toward the broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It cost us money to put this broadcast on the air. We're willing to do so as a ministry outreach of First Conservative Baptist Church. We'd love to have you join hands with us and participate in the underwriting of this broadcast. This book, The Panorama of Prophecy, is retail about $17, but any contribution that you make, we'll put it in the mail and ship it to you, and we'll even pay the shipping charges. We'll talk about that book a little later in the broadcast because some of the things I want to share with you in relationship to the eschatological truth of what we see taking place today in the world are all recorded in this book, The Panorama of Prophecy. We want to have it in your hands so that you will have a tool book that you can discuss the future events and what God is doing, and have the biblical record to back you up. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It was Jesus that said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." He said that to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then the Lord Jesus said himself, "I am truth," in John 14:6. And then he further identifies truth when he says, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about issues that are facing the world today, issues that we see on the very front pages of the newspapers today in headline news. We need to face them based on the authority of Scripture and with the word of truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what's taking place, ladies and gentlemen, in Washington and with some of the political movers and shakers in our nation today. But it was the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that made a profound statement that I like to share with you. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I pray that's what you're willing to do. And ladies and gentlemen, may I just put a little parenthetical footnote on that statement? I believe that we'll live to see the day that we will have to defend the truth to death. I believe that day is coming for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that according to the Scripture, we can see that. We're seeing persecution today and prosecution of Christians, but I believe it's going to increase exponentially, and I believe it's going to do so on a very rapid basis, and could very well be in your lifetime and mine that we have to defend the truth with our lives on the line. Now, I know some of you reject that. Some of you might think that that is not the case. But ladies and gentlemen, as I studied the Scripture, I can affirm for you that that is on the horizon for the body of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of professional landscape equipment and homeowner landscape equipment. They also carry the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a full knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power equipment and hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where the gigantic flagpole, I believe it's about 165-foot flagpole with a gigantic U.S. flag, American flag, flowing 24-7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the offices and the location of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, man has always had a deep interest in the future. Man's always seemed to have a natural, sincere curiosity, a hunger, a yearning to know what's going to take place in the future of this whole world. But let me remind you, in that seeking for it, we need to understand that God is sovereign, God's the one that's in control, and God has the entire future of this whole world in his hand. In fact, in Isaiah 46, 9 through 10, God says, "I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done." Ladies and gentlemen, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses throughout the Scripture, text and chapters in the Bible that gives us clear, detailed prophecies concerning the future. And we're going to be looking at a little, I believe, what I would simply call a little bird's eye view of some of that which the Bible talks about in relationship to things to come. Ladies and gentlemen, the world is alert today. The world's listening. The world's watching. And for the most part, the world's in wonderment and amazement about the future of mankind because of the spread of the coronavirus. Now, most of you have already heard about the coronavirus. Some of the things I'll say, and all of this is an elongated monologue, dialogue, discussion, getting into the eschatological biblical text of why we're seeing these things take place. You see, for the Christian, it's futile just to talk about what is happening unless we can pinpoint what God is doing in that which is happening. As we see these things coming about, the Bible says we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. And ladies and gentlemen, when we read in the Scripture what God's Word says in Matthew 24, verses 6 and following, I've shared this with you before, but I believe it's necessary as a precursor and an introductory verse or two for what we're going to say in relationship to that which we're talking about today, foreshadowings of things to come. The Bible says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, that's a word for diseases, and earthquakes in diverse places. Verse 8 says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. It is the birth pangs, the labor pangs, the trauma, turmoil that we see taking place, ladies and gentlemen. And so let me remind you, as we see the spread of the coronavirus, we must realize that God is still on the throne. God is still in control. It's not just something that is taking place that we cannot figure out and fathom, that we cannot do. But we need to understand that the Bible says we need to look up and listen up. God, I believe, is saying to the world today, as we watch the unfurling, the unfolding, the fuller revelation of where this whole world is going and the depths that it could be. Now, listen, I'm not saying that it shall be, but that it could be the depths and the breadths of the devastation that's the outgrowth of the coronavirus. Now, there are other things that's taking place on the face of the globe. We're watching the wars and rumors of wars. That word rumors means rumblings of wars. There's not a, you can take a globe and spin it, close your eyes and put your finger down, and chances are very, very good you place your finger on a place where there's something taking place that fulfills and recognizes what this prophetic text is saying about the wars and rumblings of wars, where there's nations against nations, that is worth ethnos, that is ethnicity, different ethnic groups warring against different ethnic groups. And then kingdom, that word for kingdom is basileon. It is talking about the rule and the reign and the different rules and reigns, the basileons, the different kingdoms that's coming against each other. We're watching that. We have been for quite some time, but it's escalating in these last days. Because the thing that I want us to understand today is, though we'll talk about the coronavirus and the devastation and the direction that it could be going in and what could be the source of its origin, but we want to understand the ultimate goal that we're looking at is that God is in control. God is still on the throne. God's not left lost control of this whole world. And God, I believe, is saying today, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God is saying, look up. Look at me. I'm in control. Most people will live their lives as though God does not exist until something calamitous takes place. And when that happens, then they will seek God. I recall back in 9/11 when we had such a catastrophic event with the Islamic jihadists knocking the buildings down, the Twin Towers in New York. I remember across the nation, even some of the rank liberal broadcasters would say, pray for America. And for about 90 days, there was that awesome, awesome sense of what is God doing? And we need to seek God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's exactly what God is doing today and continues to do. He's saying, I'm in control. I'm on the throne. I want you to listen up, look up, and recognize that I'm in control. Ladies and gentlemen, when we see these calamities take place, and then those that are watching the calamities will often seek God and say, where is God and what can we do? Ladies and gentlemen, when we study the Old Testament is full, especially go to the book of Judges, and you find everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes. But as you look at the Old Testament, you see the nation of Israel over and over and over and over. God would bless Israel. God would bless them with their provision. God would continue to bless them. And as the more they were blessed, the more they would turn their backs on God. The more they would seek their own satisfaction. The more they would seek to disobey God. And then God would bring them into bondage by a foreign nation. They would then look up, speak to God, call on God again. God would then release them from bondage, bless them again. And that was the cycle that you see throughout the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen. Israel would be in a position where they'll turn away from God, and God would use his bringing them into bondage as his chastening rod to get their attention, that they would look to him and turn back to him. And ladies and gentlemen, if God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the Bible says that he is, if that's what God did with the nation of Israel, if that's how God handled the nation of Israel, why should we think that somehow, some way, we're exempt from the chastening hand of Almighty God in the United States of America today? I'm persuaded that God is attempting to get our attention through the unusual events of recent months and years, where we've seen giant hailstones falling in some of the states, where we've seen swarms of locusts where we've seen earthquakes that are intensifying and the onslaught of diseases that cannot be controlled. Here's an article that was recently, in fact, less than 2 weeks ago, 6.8 magnitude earthquake in Turkey causes the ground to bleed a deep red color. If that's not ominous to you, if that doesn't point back to, as we found in the book of Exodus, some of the plagues, and as we find in the book of the Revelation, some of the same plagues that will be replayed during the days of the tribulation after the rapture of the church. Here's what the article says in part. It's only the beginning of the second month of 2020, and we've already seen more tragedies and odd occurrences than any other year, which is causing people to once again believe that the world may be ending sooner rather than later. One of the latest occurrences included a 6.8 magnitude earthquake in Turkey that created a very unsettling and bizarre phenomenon. A blood-like liquid seemed to bleed through the ground as the earthquake tore apart the ground. And there's a video attached to this that was absolutely astounding to watch, ladies and gentlemen. The earthquake was at the center of Sivas, Turkey, also caused a series Turkey also caused a series of aftershocks ranging from between 5.4 to 3.3 magnitude. It further says, some have tried to make sense of the bloody mess, stating that the red color could be due to dye that was had been added to the water supply to help detect leaks, through the theory that challenged many because technicians would have used brighter colors such as green or yellow rather than red. Others, however, speculated the more supernatural explanation, pointing out that the 16th chapter in the book of the Revelation counts down the stages of the apocalypse, predicting that the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Ladies and gentlemen, I am talking about the foreshadowing of things to come. And here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, says coronavirus spreads like wildfire on cruise ship. And it talks about the number of those infected. In fact, there was about four cruise ships that were docked and awaiting as they did a series of tests on each of those ships in different locations around the world. On each of them, there were thousands of people that were detained until they could go through a 14-day quarantine period. If they were discovered to have any on board with the coronavirus, they'd go through another quarantine period. And finally, several of the ships have disembarked, ones that were the travelers on the ships, but it's spreading like wildfire around the globe. This article says Princess Diamond Cruises ship is one passenger that never bought a ticket. That is the coronavirus sweeping across China and creeping around the globe. As a result, a number of people on the ship have been infected with the virus, including at least 12 Americans. On Saturday, Princess Cruises has announced that 63 people, including 9 Americans, were infected on the ship, which was off the coast of Yokohama, Japan. The Princess Diamond is under quarantine. That quarantine was up, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it was on the 20th of February, and then they had to reinstitute a quarantine because of others that they found. Some of them have been taken off the ship, and I believe ultimately the 3,700 passengers have now gone ashore. The quarantine imposed after they learned that the passengers of the 3,700-person ship had gone ashore in Hong Kong last month. Further in the article says, we're trying to somehow reach the State Department in hopes that they'll help us get out of here. That was what one passenger said. That was an American citizen. He said, we're confined in our cabin. We're breathing recirculated air. And I can go on and on, ladies and gentlemen, but that recirculated air, by the way, for those that are not familiar with, on an airplane or a ship of that nature, you're breathing recirculated air. It is air conditioning, but it's recirculated air. And so it takes that contaminant that is in the coronavirus, and it spreads throughout every cabin in the ship. And it's amazing to me that everyone on ship did not come down with the coronavirus, but fortunately that was not the case. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, that it says, CDC admits rapidly changing situation, possible virus cases being monitored in 22 states. It, ladies and gentlemen, this is an article that's just about 10 days old, and it's rapidly past that today. But the headline points out CDC's recognition that it's rapidly changing. It says, in part, the regional virus outbreak in China has morphed into a global scare that now threatens countries all across the globe. Cases in America have skyrocketed. 22 states now by the CDC. This is a rapidly changing situation, both abroad and domestically, the director of the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases said. The communist government, the article says, the communist government appears to be attempting to quarantine their way out of trouble, and now more than 40 million people sit in cities shuttered by travel restrictions, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the coronavirus, and I'm using this as a very clear, concise, though calamitous situation that I believe God is using to say, I'm in control. God is using to say to the world that, look at me, I control this whole world. Now, I understand for a lot of people that is a statement that they don't like to hear. Perhaps you're one of them. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this is Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can call 831-0917. Jump in this dialogue and discussion, 831-0917. We're talking about the foreshadowing of things to come. We're going to be talking about later in this broadcast using some excerpts from my book, The Panorama of Prophecy. It is a 156-page book. It covers eschatological truth based on biblical text from the rapture of the church to the return and the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. It includes, ladies and gentlemen, the foreshadowing of all that we're seeing today, the foreshadowing of what God is doing eschatologically speaking. It includes, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today when we see the pestilences, that is diseases, as the coronavirus and the world is in chaos and calamity and confusion, not knowing what to do and which way to turn with it. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing this linked with giant hailstones. We're seeing this linked with earthquakes. We're seeing this linked with swarms of locusts that are being dispersed in multitudes of places around the globe. And I've shared article after article after article in recent weeks with you about those events. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the onslaught of diseases that man cannot control. And as we look at the biblical record in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, we understand that God is saying that this is going to happen, this is where it's going, and this is what is taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, just recently the stock market dropped over 1,000 points due to the fear of the future with the coronavirus. Let me just read you the headlines. This should give you a little understanding of the fear that business has in relationship to this. When you look at, ladies and gentlemen, Starbucks, you look at the Apple place, the Apple store, the Apple phones, and their creation of the business equipment in that realm, they've shut down the majority of their places of business in China. And most other businesses that are global businesses have done the same. You have city after city and region after region in China that's ghost towns, that there's no movement at all because everybody's been sequestered to their apartments and their homes. They cannot get out, cannot move about. But this article says Dow Jones plunges 1,000 points on coronavirus fears. That drop is 3.5%, which is the worst in the past 2 years. Further in the article, it says, and I won't go through the minutiae of all of the different stocks that plummeted that made up that 1,000-point drop. But it says stocks fell sharply on Monday as the number of coronavirus cases outside of China surged, stoking fears of a prolonged global economic shutdown from the virus that is spreading. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's some that have the understanding. And let me just throw this in at this point. Some people believe that this is being promulgated and pushed as a fear tactic to bring the stock market down, because in their statement, and I've said the same in a very similar fashion, that Donald J. Trump is responsible for a major upsurge in the economy. We're watching a thriving economy as not seen in the past 70 years in America as a result of God's divine intervention in putting President Donald J. Trump in office. But if something could happen to cause the marketplace to stumble and cause the Dow Jones to tumble and cause the economic picture to start to crumble, then, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there would be a grave situation come November the 3rd at the ballot boxes in our reelection of President Donald J. Trump. There's some that are claiming, and perhaps they have statistical data to verify it, some that are claiming this is all put upon we Americans that will cause us to question the viability and the future value of reelecting President Donald J. Trump. The worst case scenario, ladies and gentlemen, is to see a major, major economic hiccup in the next 6 months. If this could take place between now and September, October, there's a high probability that the nation would say, as the airheads are saying, that airheads, speaking of those that are following the communist Bernie Sanders, and there would be a woe situation in America, a worst case scenario, if we put a communist in position of president of the United States of America. And that's what Bernie Sanders is. He's a communist. So I just wanted to throw that in, that there's that sense out there, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow, somewhere this could be contrived to affect Americans by the economic pen that would prevent Donald J. Trump from being reelected come November the 3rd. But this article says, ladies and gentlemen, the stock market dropped 1,000 points. And that's in one day's time. Think what it could be if we have major mega outbreaks of the coronavirus in America. And ladies and gentlemen, it very well could be. I'm not a prophet of doom, but it very well could be, simply because they've not discovered, they've not made a decision how it is spread, could be a combatant for that. They've not developed a serum or any type of vaccination that would defend against it. And as one writer said, coronavirus, this is the headline, coronavirus, 1918 all over again, ? The article goes on to say the worst possible existential threat is the stealthily invisible one that multiplies exponentially in the accurate sense of the term. 400 cases today, 800 tomorrow, 1,600, 3,200, 6,400, 12,800, 25,600, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and over 1 million and only 12 times of doubling. Biological threats proliferate until they run out of suspected victims. In 1918, the great influenza pandemic killed as many people in 11 months as the medieval Black Plague did in 4 years. Ultimately, at least 50 million may have perished in 1918. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a three-page article on that. I'll not take the time to go into the minutiae of all of the article. But simply put, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching something that we've not witnessed before in recent modern times in the United States of America, or for that matter, on the face of the globe. Here's an article that says the World Health Organization declares coronavirus outbreak a global health emergency. A global health emergency. They're also referring to it, ladies and gentlemen, as a potential pandemic. In some corners of the globe, they're referring to it as a pandemic. Here's this article that says the World Health Organization defines a global emergency as an extraordinary event that constitutes a risk of other countries and requires coordinated international responses. The World Health Organization on Thursday declared the new coronavirus outbreak as a global emergency amid the recent jump in the number of infected patients. Our greatest concern is the potential for the virus to spread to countries where weaker health systems and which are ill-prepared to deal with it, according to the World Health Organization. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place today. And again, this is not a doom and gloomish broadcast. We're wanting to set the stage in this elongated monologue. We want to set the stage to going back to the scripture and showing you what the scripture says shall in fact take place on a global basis after the rapture of the church takes place during the days of the tribulation. And that is expressly defined, ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 18. If you want to know what God is going to do, you want to know how God's going to get the world's attention, if you want to know how God is going to judge the world that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, study the Revelation text, chapter 16 through 18. We're going to look at some of those verses and text shortly after our break. We're going to have a one-minute break, ladies and gentlemen, for the news at the top of the hour. And after that break, we're coming back, and we're going to talk about the fanfare, if you will, of the future of what God is doing, and we are looking at the future eschatologically, foreshadowing what God will do in the latter days. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.